You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah, we just got to go home and win a game. That's, you know, we've talked about it in the locker room. We got to go to Milwaukee and win a game. Life is not complicated. That's what we got to go do.
One game at a time is certainly the approach you got to start with, but the Bucks have now put themselves, to say in an unenviable position is putting it extremely mildly. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is not good. And we asked you after game number three, what's your level of concern falling behind 2-1 to the Miami Heat in a game where you were frankly run off the floor? This game, much different feel tonight. A nice start to the game for the Bucks, who picked up a double-digit lead early in this game. You liked everything, just about everything you were seeing in the early going here, all the way really until the six-minute mark. 6:09 remaining in this game was the turning point of the game, and a couple of things stand out for those final 6 minutes of this game, which may in fact go a long way in deciding this season and, if we are being honest, the future of where this franchise heads with a couple of big decisions in the offseason and first-round exits as the number one overall seed. We're not there yet, but that causes a lot of soul-searching. So that is something to keep in mind as well. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight. I'm not even going to ask what your level of concern is because I would imagine everybody is at a 10 or higher. But where do you begin with this one? 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head right out to the phone lines and begin with somebody who I know will have quite a bit to say about this one. Dick in Port Washington. Where do you start with this one, Dick?
Well, yeah, I'm actually calling here from Denver, Colorado, and I still think, and maybe I'm whistling past the graveyard here, I still think if there's any team that can win three in a row, it's us. I mean, Giannis was winded tonight. We played well, but we kind of choked it off.
It's not kind of.
You alluded to. Yeah, he did. You alluded to that. This isn't just a series loss. This could be a big time franchise loss. I think that what's going to be the market for Middleton? You know, he has the option. The Bucks don't. Holiday, same type of thing. Are you going to re-sign Lopez? Are you going to go back with the same group? I don't think so. This could be something that really changes the franchise. We could be going back big time. Are free agents still going to want to come here? You know, I guess with Giannis, the answer is yes. We've traded one billionaire for another one, and the billionaire we got in is certainly willing to spend money, even though he's not going to be the governor for a while. But that's the bigger picture here, actually, than the series. This will go down in Wisconsin history as the worst loss by any franchise of the three teams we have here if we don't come back and win this thing. And if we lose Wednesday night, then I don't know what's going to happen then with the franchise. That's my concern. So I think you alluded to it. Are you kind of on board with that?
Yeah, and I suppose I don't want to get into it too much with the season not over yet. I mean, if this ends on Wednesday or Friday, we'll certainly get into it a lot more there. But yeah, that's what I was alluding to. I mean, you can't keep things status quo if you lose in the first round, period. But especially as the number one seed in all of the playoffs, you can't run the same group back. I mean, we saw when they lost in the bubble, same type of mentality. That team was just blitzing through everyone in the regular season. At one point, they were on pace to win, I think, 73 games. The bubble was certainly part of it, the way the season slowed down, but Miami was a better team than the Bucks were that year. And, you know, you saw the changes that were needed in bringing in Drew Holiday and reshaping that roster. The reality is you have a roster full of guys that have been on deep playoff runs and won championships, sure, but the roster is also getting older. And I think we saw that so far in this series, that you've seen that age start to creep up there. You mentioned Brook Lopez. You have decisions on him. Brook or Chris Middleton can test the market. When the season does come to an end, we'll get into this a lot more. But here's the other thing is, you know, it's not as simple as, well, you just let this guy leave and you do this because of where the Bucks are in terms of the cap. So anything you do in the offseason is going to be complicated and involve other teams. But if this ends in the first round, there's going to be quite a bit, I would have to assume, that's done in the offseason.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that what's going to happen? The market isn't going to be there for Middleton. He's going to resign. So you're going to have him. Holiday, I think, has 1 year left, but then it's going to be the same option. And we're not getting old. We are old.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, you're getting older.
Yeah. Well, we're also old. What are we, the second oldest team in the league?
Oldest, yeah.
You know, oldest, or maybe the oldest. And some of the plays tonight, you know, and like him or hate him, Reggie Miller called this baby from all the way out from the first quarter on. He said, you know, he didn't come out and say this, that we're playing with our food, but he said, you know, the Bucks should really be up by 20 or so.
Yeah, they were letting him hang around.
Never did. Yeah, they'd let him hang around, and that's what happened. So, but with that said, I'm still, I guess, confident. I don't have that pit in my belly. I think we can come back. Now, you know, my son who we're visiting here says, you know, we got to beat him by 20 to really go. Well, I don't care if we beat him by one.
Yeah, I mean, at this
you
point.
You got to win that game because the pressure on Miami will be increased dramatically. You know, you can't have Butler go off for 50-some points.
I don't know about
that,
Dick.
They don't have anybody else that can score. So,
Miami is not going to have any. The pressure is going to be on the Bucks the rest of the way. Even if this goes to a game seven, the pressure is still on the Bucks. You are the number one overall seed in the playoffs. And you might lose in five, but at the very best case scenario, it's going to take seven games to get past the eight seed. And look, the Miami Heat are not an eight seed. This team is closer to probably a six seed. But still, a 1-6 in that, like, this is still a team you need to beat in the first round. That's the bigger takeaway.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no way we should lose to these guys. And, yeah, I agree that they should be a little bit better. But I still can't believe some, you know, and it's not always how many points you score. It's when you score those points.
Yeah.
And the reserves for them came in and made buckets when they really needed them. And that was the big difference. I somehow you got to figure out, you know, a player that we really missed tonight was Wesley Matthews.
Yep.
You could have thrown him at Butler. That would have been six more fouls you could have used up on him. And eventually, some of these balls that are going in with these circus shots can't keep falling. I guess that's probably sour grapes on my part, but I still feel confident we're going to come back and win this thing.
All right, bottle that confidence and distribute it across all Bucks fans here. Look.
Well, I don't think the bottle issue is going to be there. I think a lot of bottles are getting empty tonight.
Dick, thanks for the call, and hopefully we'll check in with you again Wednesday, and that won't be the last time in the postseason. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A lot of you chiming in here with your thoughts. You can text it in as well, 855-616-1620. Not the result we hope for. And now we talk about championship metal, and we talk about never underestimate the heart of a champion. I'm not gonna try to repeat the acronym that Mark Tauscher gave me earlier today for never underestimate the heart of a champion. I think he added a couple of other letters in there that made it a little interesting, but we're going to find out. We're going to find out starting Wednesday, because this Miami Heat team is extremely confident. Jimmy Butler is playing the best basketball of anybody we've seen, not named LeBron James, Michael Jordan, or Wilt Chamberlain in a playoff series. And this is a team that wholeheartedly believes they're going to end the series on Wednesday, which, you know, losing as the one seed in the first round is obviously suboptimal. But if you lose to the eighth seed in five games, that is an absolute disaster. So we will see starting Wednesday what this team is made of. Now, are there any parallels we can draw and comparisons we can make to 2 years ago? We'll do our best. We'll take a look at it. But not the post-game show we hope to have for you tonight as the Bucks collapse. There is no other way of putting this. This was an epic collapse in the final 6 minutes and 9 seconds of this game, and it may end up costing them their season now as the Miami Heat storm back to win this one 119-114. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get to more of your texts and phone calls after this. A disappointing loss, but more after this on Bucks Talk. /119-114, the final. The Miami Heat are one game away from eliminating the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. In an incredible performance from Jimmy Butler, 56 points tonight. He scored 58 points in the entire series in 2021. In four games, 58 points. Scored 56 points tonight. And he has scored 146 points through four games in this series. Jimmy Butler has been unstoppable. You didn't see a whole lot of Giannis on Jimmy Butler tonight, and I mean, that is really the only thing you have left, the only card you have left to play. If you're Mike Budenholzer in the Bucks, is all right, I guess it's time for 48 minutes of Giannis on Jimmy Butler. Offensively, it seemed like you were getting what you wanted until those final 6 minutes. Not enough touches for Brook Lopez down the stretch of this game. The last one was really that feed from Giannis to Brook. On the two-man game, the pick and roll, Brook did the slip screen and gets the dunk on that no-look feed from Giannis. Gave the Bucks a 12-point lead. And from that point forward, Miami outscored the Bucks 30-13 in 6 minutes. The Heat scored 78 points through 36 minutes. And in 6 minutes, they scored 30 points in the fourth quarter. A 30-13 close to the game. And the Bucks, 4 of 13 shooting. None of that was around the rim. Two of them were. But the damage was already done at that point. And four turnovers. All the Bucks' fourth quarter turnovers came in the final 6 minutes of the game. So obviously a lot of texts pouring in. Suggesting some personnel changes that need to be made. Not a surprise when you're the one seed in the entire playoffs. And we put such an emphasis on getting that one seed. Getting the one seed and avoiding what you would have in that second round of the playoffs. And eventually conference finals as well, as we hope to get there. And now here are the Bucks, 48 minutes away from being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs for the first time since Mike Budenholzer arrived. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Ricky in Honey Creek, you're up next. Ricky, other than the loss, how's it going tonight?
Besides that, it's going fine. I have to agree with you. You just said everybody's like, man, Bucks got to get their number one seed so we can avoid playing against the Celtics. And I mean, the Bucks haven't won a NBA Finals as a number one seed. They only won it as a number three seed. And I have to admit, I was one of those people hoping that the Bucks would be the number one seed. And here we are at the end of the season. Bucks get the number one seed, waiting to see who they play. Miami Heat playing against them, and nothing good is happening. And we're talking about, man, this Bucks team is the championship team. But now we're talking the Bucks are on their last thread. They're about to be eliminated. It was nice to see Giannis back on the floor. He started this game. He brought the vibes. The Bucks started out really good. Really low amount of turnovers to start the game. But that late first half, turnovers started piling up. We saw a 12-point lead get cut down to one or two. Then the Bucks would go on a little run. Then the Heat would bounce back. And as you noticed, when the Heat have been winning games, they go on big runs, and the Bucks can't answer back. Today, Bucks went on big runs, but they allowed the Heat to answer back at just about every single time. And you're talking about it, the last 6 minutes of this game, Bucks were up by 12 again, and Jimmy Butler came alive like he never came alive before in the playoffs. Season high for a playoff, 56 points. I mean, if you're supposed to be a championship team, you are not going to let Jimmy Butler or anybody score over 50 points in a playoff game, and that's what doomed the Bucks. It looks like the Bucks will be eliminated, but I'm still hoping that one little chance that the Bucks can somehow pull off three straight wins here, and we'll see what happens in our next game.
Thanks for the call, Ricky. And look, this team played very well with their back against the wall 2 years ago. But that being said, they didn't face anything like this. You know, if we revisit that, you stomped the Miami Heat in four games. You came back from 2-0 against the Brooklyn Nets, but that was also a Brooklyn Nets team that was with a one-legged James Harden. Kyrie Irving went down in that series. And we can point to, hey, nobody thought the Bucks were going to win that series after game two when you were down at one point by 50 or 49 points. Certainly true. It did not look great. The Bucks came back against the Atlanta Hawks. Series was tied. You lost Giannis, but the series was tied at 2-2 against the Phoenix Suns, down 2-0. The big difference is the Suns series, the Nets series. You were down 2-0. You were returning home. Here you lost home court advantage, and you didn't steal it back. And now we're going to see what this team is made of. Because we've talked about the championship medal. We've talked about, again, never underestimate the heart of a champion. This group has been through it. Obviously, the core group of guys with that finals run with Brooke and Drew and Chris and Giannis, obviously, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis. Joe Ingles has been on some deep playoff runs with the Utah Jazz. You didn't see Jay Crowder at all tonight, by the way, but Jay Crowder's another guy that's been through some deep playoff runs. Well, we're going to see what's left in the tank starting Wednesday. Because now you're going to need to use up all of those reserves down 3-1 to the 8 seed in a best-of-7 series in the first round of the playoffs. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Trip in Milwaukee. What's going on, Trip?
Yo, maintaining. Hey, check this out. Look, see, you know, and I think they deserve it, you know. But I mean, they're a good team. But do you remember when Giannis went up for the layup, and he hit the grill because dude moved out the way? Now, if you recall, my man Jordan, he did that same move, right? But he was in the air and tossed it to his right hand, right into the bucket. Now we see Giannis go down. And we should ask you, man, how do your butt feel? Because I know you butt sore right now, you know, trying to run up a check, and you know you can't do it off a bogus move. Yep. That's how it is.
All right. Thanks for the call, Trip. 855-616-1620. Michael in Milwaukee. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, Justin. I think that we just got to take it one game at a time. I mean, if you look at you know, each of these games coming up individually, assuming we can keep winning, I mean, we're going to be favored in all of them. So if we just keep taking it one game at a time, I mean, get that momentum back at home, you know, I think we can still do this. But I wanted to call and ask you your from your point of view, what happened on that call where we were trying to call timeout, the use it or lose it timeout, and Miami stripped it, and then Jimmy Butler had that dunk and was hanging all over the rim. Why was that not called by the referees? I mean, every game I've watched this year, the refs have given them that.
And you know what's
coming. And for that not to be called,
yep.
I mean, I don't know.
Well,
that didn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
And that was huge. You know what I mean?
That gave Miami their first lead of the game, and it seemed like the – I know the Bucks. I think two times reclaimed the lead. A rare Drew Holiday did not have a good game tonight. And frankly, I know we pointed to the assists. Drew Holiday hasn't had a good series. Bud didn't really have an explanation either. He just, when he was asked about it, said they just didn't give us the timeout. So I don't have a better explanation than that, other than it was dumbfounding that there was no timeout given there on a play that we've seen the Bucks do, or a sequence where they call that use it or lose a timeout every single game this season, it seems like. But look, to be clear, I mean, that did ignite the heat, but you know, there was more to it than that. For the final 6 minutes of this game, this team just did not play anywhere near the level we saw for the first 42 minutes, and they did not play anywhere near good enough to win a playoff game. You went away. To me, the big thing, you went away from everything that was working with Giannis and with Brooke Lopez. I mean, those two guys went down swinging tonight. This loss, none of it lies at the feet of Giannis and Brooke Lopez, who were absolutely incredible. 62 combined points tonight, 25 of 45 shooting in the game, 62 points, 21 rebounds between the two of them. And you just inexplicably went away from that in the final 6 minutes of this game and started to rely on a lot of one-and-done jump shots. Drew Holiday did hit a big three that pushed you back in front, but you just didn't have answers. And as this game went on, you started to see Chris Middleton is still – we talked about the offense that he's given you in the first two games, especially of this series – offense has looked fine. He's gotten to his spots. The defense is it's still not there. I stop short of saying, as you've seen a lot of people rush to judgment of, well, Chris is this or Chris is never going to be the same guy. Who knows? But I think it is a fair assessment to say defensively, Chris Middleton is not where you need him to be right now, and certainly not where he was 2 years ago, when you went to the NBA Finals because of your elite defense. That was one of the biggest issues in these final 6 minutes. And that's been the biggest issue, or one of the biggest issues, in four games this series. Jimmy Butler has gotten everything he's wanted. He has hit some tough shots, but the Bucks don't have a good Jimmy Butler defender. And tonight, you know, I stop short of saying inexplicably, you didn't see Giannis on him really at all. A couple of switches, that was it. And it was really early in this game. And that, look, Giannis is I think, still not 100%. You saw it briefly at times. He was clearly trying to keep that back loose throughout the game, and we assume that would be the case. But to not go to Giannis and to just say, we're putting Drew on him, and Drew did an okay job. Drew does a good job of fighting through screens. A couple of rips that he had on Jimmy Butler at times too, but you just needed to throw more looks at Jimmy Butler. And, you know, the big thing that's probably not getting enough mention, we've talked about Giannis missing 2.5 games in this series. It's just kind of been, oh, by the way, Wesley Matthews is out too. And that is looming large, that you just have one guy to capably defend Jimmy Butler in this series. And if that's the case, you've got to do a better job of marrying Drew Holiday's minutes to Jimmy Butler's minutes. Jimmy played 41 minutes tonight. Drew Holiday played 40. There should not be more than a minute where Jimmy Butler's on the floor and Drew Holiday or Giannis is not. And we saw more of that once again tonight. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. Still some more calls to get to, some texts as well. To no surprise, the texts are suggesting a lot of changes here in this summer for the Bucks, and that the reality is, if this series ends on Wednesday, if this series ends this week, if your season ends this week, there will be changes made. You do not lose in the first round as a one seed and run it back. We basically saw that 3 years ago. If you don't get into May, there's going to be some changes made. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. More after this on Bucks. /119 to /114 final, 56 from Jimmy Butler, who has turned in an all-time performance in this playoff series. And we talked about it after the game with Dave Kane. A few other callers pointed this out as well. Of, wow, Miami can't keep doing this. They can't possibly keep shooting 40% or better from three. Jimmy Butler, he just can't keep scoring like this. Well, I would counter with, we've said that four times now. After game one, it was, all right, great. Miami's not going to shoot 60% from three in the series. Then game two, you won. But the not even reasons for concern, just the eyebrow raise was how the Heat closed out the game. And it seemed like they started to find something in the fourth quarter. Duncan Robinson started to hit some threes. The Heat outscored you in that quarter, so it went from a total, total domination performance from the Bucks to you won where the Heat, maybe they're building something here in that fourth. Game three was an absolute disaster. Final 4.5 minutes of the first quarter and the final three quarters of the game, it was not the intensity and just the overall play you look for from a team, again, 2 years removed from an NBA championship and the number one seed in the playoffs. And tonight, there is no other way to put this than this was an epic collapse from the Bucks, up a dozen with 6 minutes left, and just poor execution. Missed shots, turnovers, and bad defensive sequences kept the door open. You kept the door open all night for Miami, and you see what happens when you leave your front door open. People are going to walk into your house, and that's what Jimmy Butler did tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to Mequon and talk with Jade. You're up next.
Hey, Justin, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. I got a couple scattered thoughts about tonight's, not only about tonight's game, but about the Bucks over the last couple of years. The whole number one seed thing was kind of scary for me. I know that's what you want heading into the playoffs, but it doesn't seem like the Bucks have had the best luck with the number one seed. And then pulling Miami, even though Miami was coming off the play-in tournament, there was a little bit of angst about Pig just drawing them, just based on, I know they swept them a couple years back, but something about Butler morphing into, as Charles Barkley put it, Jimmy F.M. Butler. He's just showing and proving that. I think that Bud's job was on the line back in 21 when the Bucks won the championship. I think had they not won it, that he would have been gone then. So I am in the party of this is on Bud, as I think even though the Bucks had that 12-point lead down the stretch with 6 minutes to go, I think their biggest lead in the game tonight was maybe 14, 13 or 14. But none of those leads ever felt comfortable at any time. With the kind of rubber banding, 13 points, we'll get down to 4 points, back up to 9 points, back then up to 13, then back down to four. It never felt comfortable at all. And then I'm going to say probably lastly is that if you let anybody beat you aside from Jimmy Butler, I mean, I don't remember him being double teamed at least once
yeah.
at all in the game. the Bucks rotations, I think, dwindled down to maybe eight when, I mean, I don't think Jay Crowder got in the game. I mean, if you, I know that Matthews-West wasn't playing. Wes Matthews wasn't in the game, but at least you put Jay Crowder in there as a fresh body maybe. Portis didn't see much time in the second half, I don't think. So it's just, to me, it's Butler is who he is, but I think you got to, you know, you make other guys beat you down the stretch. Going away from Lopez was a mistake.
Yep.
It definitely was a mistake. So if you're not going to ante up on offense and keep what has gotten you the lead or kept the lead for you, at least you got to double down on defense.
In the fourth quarter, and thanks for the call, Jade, in the fourth quarter, Jrue Holiday played 11 minutes. Brook Lopez played all but the final 12 seconds. Giannis played 11 minutes. Grayson Allen played 9.5 minutes. I mean, it was pretty clear Bud trusted those three guys. Chris played 8.5 minutes. Pat Connaughton played 8 minutes. That was it. Joe Ingles played 12 seconds. Bobby Portis didn't play in the fourth quarter. Javon Carter didn't play. So this was basically a, all right, these are the guys I trust. Javon Carter played a minute in this game. We didn't see Jay Crowder. And the move to get Jay Crowder, you know, to say it hasn't worked out as you had hoped so far, there's still three games for that to change. That's a massive understatement. You know, we mentioned this team needed some more versatility. They needed some help on the perimeter defensively, and you assume that would be Jay Crowder. It hasn't been the case in this series. And to Jade's point, I think I'm never going to come on this show or any show and say somebody needs to lose their job. Somebody needs to get fired. I think we've all been in that spot. None of us would want our jobs put on the line or speculated about. But there were certainly some puzzling decisions in this game. I mean, it's the rotation, I'm sure, is going to be picked apart here. And I didn't have a problem with the minutes and how they were doled out necessarily. I think the one guy you would look to would have been maybe getting Joe Ingles in there in the fourth quarter when this offense was seemingly hitting a wall. And again, 4 turnovers in the last 6 minutes of the game, 4-13 shooting. Get Joe Ingles on the floor. Get another ball handler. Run a two-man game. Get that pick and roll with he and Brook Lopez. Giannis did it a couple of times, we saw. That would have been the one thing I would point to. Now, I get why you would have avoided that, and that was for the defensive side of the floor. But the issue here really comes down to this defense. It was elite 2 years ago. It's not this season. You know, we saw in the regular season it was early on. The last month and a half, 6 weeks of the regular season, this group slid closer to 20th in defensive rating. And we questioned, who are the Bucks really? Are they closer to the number one overall defense? Are they closer to 18 or wherever it was? And in the playoffs, it's been closer to 18. I thought the defense played pretty well for the first three quarters of this game, and that started to change. But, you know, some of the shots you saw in that second half, early in the second half, you'd live with that. Gabe Vincent taking pull-up jumpers. Bam Adebayo taking those free-throw jumpers. If they're going to hit those shots, so be it. Kyle Lowry, let them take those shots. It can't be Jimmy Butler getting to that spot on the baseline and beating you. And to Jade's point, you know, when Jimmy Butler, 22 points in the first quarter, 20 points in the fourth quarter, when he's doing that regularly, at some point, don't you have to just get the ball out of his hands? 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Joe in Madison. How's it going, Joe?
Just a total collapse by the Bucks. I mean, but to his point also, the last caller's point, no lead really ever feels safe in the NBA. Now, yeah, no lead does feel safe in the NBA with the three-point shot and how teams play nowadays. But my point is, It goes to Giannis, and I know, and I'm not saying Giannis needs to be traded or anything like that. Nobody's saying that from what I've heard. But, you know, guys like Steph Curry, guys like Luka Doncic, guys like Damian Lillard or Joel Embiid or Jason Tatum, they all can hit a clutch three when it matters. And when you're down by three and the money's on the table, do you really trust Giannis shooting a three?
No. No, but I mean, I get the point that you're making, Joe, and thanks for the call. But it's really about the roster around him that, you know, Nikola Jokic is obviously a much better three-point shooter than Giannis, but Nikola Jokic isn't a knockdown three-point shooter. And when the game's on the line, I mean, I suppose he's hit some big ones, but it's really about the roster that's constructed around him. Because look, did you need Giannis to hit a late three in the 2021 run to the NBA Finals? And, you know, people are going to say, oh yeah, but you know, we did the same thing with the Lakers title in the bubble. We haven't heard a lot of it, but I would imagine if this series ends this week, if you don't see May and you are one of the few one seeds, would this be the fourth time? Well, you know what? Let's not even get into it until we have to. But if you don't get out of the first round, I would assume you'll hear some chatter. Were the Bucks really that good in 2021? It was a weird playoffs. It's a weird season with the COVID year. It was year two of COVID. We didn't have fans in arenas at capacity until into the playoffs, depending on the city that you're in. I'm sure you'll hear some of that if the Bucks season ends this week, but you know, we didn't talk about Giannis's ability to close then when he scored 50 in game six, the closeout game of the NBA Finals. So I get the point you're making of is Giannis a knockdown shooter? No. Is he even a trustworthy 3-point shooter? No. But he's still the best 2-way player in the league. And, you know, we saw a 3-point play from Giannis in the final couple of minutes of this game. That's not the reason why they lost this game. You know, there was plenty of sequences up to the final 6 minutes and to the point that Jade made. A couple of people have pointed out here. The lead just didn't feel safe. And even when it got down to nine, once it got down to nine, is when you start to feel like, I don't know about this. And when Miami made that a 3-point game, it got down to one. Jimmy Butler's dunk. I've seen a couple of people ask, too, of why was there no technical foul there? He was hanging on the rim. I mean, again, it was there was other things to be concerned about by then. You should have been up much larger than it was in the closing minutes of this game. You know, like, you left the door open several times, and you got away with it. For most of the third quarter, for the first half of the fourth quarter, you got away with it. But there was a couple of, to me, really pivotal sequences. You're up 13, and you settled for a quick Drew Holiday three-pointer. Now, if Drew Holiday hits that three, it's 16, and maybe you start to nudge the Miami Heat closer to the edge, and this series is tied at 2 games apiece. Who knows? Drew Holiday did not have a good shooting night. Drew Holiday has not had a good shooting series. And there's just too much of that where it seemed like it went from 15 to 9 or 8 points just like that. And it was very slow and methodical of what Miami was doing. But once they got that lead, I will give Drew Holiday credit and the Bucks credit that, you know, it would have been very easy to see things go south immediately. Bucks did reclaim the lead a couple of times, but they could just not sustain anything. And this wasn't just one area of the floor. This was a failure on both ends. Your offense did not do anything. Not even didn't do enough. Did not do anything in the final 6 minutes of this game. 13 points in those 6 minutes on 4 of 13 shooting. Scored 13 points on 13 shots in the final 6 minutes of the game, and you allowed the Miami Heat to score 30 They scored 78 points through 36 minutes of this game, and they scored 30 in the final 6 minutes of the game. Your defense, too. You got to try something else on Jimmy Butler. Because as much as we want to point to, well, he's not going to keep doing this. He did. He did in game one. He did in game two. He did in game three. He did tonight. So we can point to, well, he's got to cool off at some point. What have you seen through four games to suggest Jimmy Butler isn't going to continue getting everything that he wants whenever he wants? 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still a few more calls to get to. A little bit of time left on the show tonight. We hope this is not the penultimate edition of Bucks Talk this season, but that's the spot the Bucks are in now. Must win game on Wednesday night to avoid elimination. And make note of that tip time, 8:30 p.m. in Milwaukee, 8:30 tip-off on Wednesday night. It can't end on a weird tip time. There's no way the season and series can end like that. More calls to get to, more of your thoughts, and if you're one of the optimists out there, one of the things I'm sure you'll cling to. We'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk. .119-114, the final tonight in Miami. The Heat push the Bucks to the brink of elimination. Behind 56 points from Jimmy Butler, the same man who scored 58 points through four games, or in four games, in that sweep 2 years ago. Jimmy Butler nearly matches that output tonight alone. 56 points on 28 field goal attempts. And the eighth-seeded Miami Heat are one win away from bouncing the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talking text line. Let's go back to the phone lines and head to Charlotte. Shu, you're up next.
Hey, man, thanks for accepting my call, man. I got a couple points that what I saw from tonight's game. Since game one, I feel like the officiating on us has been very, like, kind of, like, sketchy. I always tell, like, the coach, like, they got to start coaching their guys to flail. Like, when you got guys like Kyle Lowry, like, on that offensive foul on Giannis, it was more like a flop is what they saw from Kyle Lowry is the reason why they call plays like that. And I feel like Budenholzer, he's a bad, terrible coach. I feel like he was a foot line away from being fired in 2021. He does not make any live adjustments in game calls. I feel like Drew Holiday is killing us with his three-point shooting. Like, you can't go 2-11, like, and shoot under 50% from the field every game. Like, Chris Middleton gave us one game in game one with the 33, but overall, every time I watch him in the playoffs, he's very inconsistent. Bobby Portis, sometimes mentally, he gets too much into himself and thinks like he's bigger than what his role is supposed to be, and I feel like he makes key turnovers. I feel like Javon Carter should be guarding Kyle Lowry. It's just like the play from the Bucks is like it's a letdown because Giannis is putting a lot out there, and I feel like guys like Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton are missing wide open threes. But then on the other side, you got Duncan Robinson, who's been sitting on the bench half the whole year, coming in scoring threes on us. So it's just like the adjustment period from Coach Budenholzer is going to be the reason why we get eliminated. And that's it. That's pretty much it. Thanks for accepting my call.
No problem. Thanks for the call. A lot to get off his chest there. So Drew Holiday, through four games in this series, and look, this has kind of been what we've seen from Drew. You don't win a title without Drew Holiday, so let's make that clear. Offense has not been there for Drew Holiday seemingly in any of these three postseason runs. He has hit some big shots, but sustainable, consistent offense, it hasn't been it. And Drew, through four games in this series, is shooting 27% on threes. 10 of 36. Pat Connaughton cooled off tonight. But Pat is 10 of 22. He's still shooting close to 50% on threes in this series. A lot of that came from one game, sure. But I didn't have a problem with what Pat Connaughton gave you tonight. And look, the Bucks shot 33% on their threes. Closer to what we saw for that entire run in 2021. To me, and I haven't seen what the numbers were, talked about this earlier today, you know, the issue is going to come down to wide open threes. The Bucks were hitting theirs, but not at the same clip the Heat were, and they were giving up too many. Now, the Bucks are getting more open threes than Miami in this series, but when you see 2 of 11 from Drew Holiday, and not, I'm not saying all of those were open looks, but 2 of 11 from Drew, 1 of 6 from Pat. Bobby Portis missed some open looks tonight, too. Miami, it's pretty clear what they were doing. And we saw more of the zone. It's going to leave the middle of the floor open. You saw the Bucks take advantage of that early. Final 6 minutes of the game, you just did not take advantage of that. You cannot find one bad thing to say about Giannis or Brooke Lopez tonight. Those two guys gave you everything. Those two guys were the reason why you led by 15 points. You know, if we're going to point to, well, the Bucks should have been up by more, that's really on the surrounding cast, the other seven guys that played in this game, because Giannis and Brooke Lopez were fantastic on both ends of the floor. 62 combined points, 21 total rebounds, 5 blocks between the two of them. They were great. You needed more from the others, and you just didn't get 28 combined points from Drew and Chris. No, Brooke Lopez had 36, Giannis had 26. The rest of the three starters had 36 combined points. That was the issue tonight. In a night where your bench scored 16, that was an issue. Another thing we didn't really dig into, the Heat scored 24 points off of your 14 turnovers. You forced 16 Miami turnovers. And you scored less points than they did. Fewer points than they did off of turnovers. 17 points off of those 16 turnovers. The Heat were getting in transition. Your transition defense was not good enough tonight. And there's a number of things to point to through these first four games. But this has been a failure of the Bucks defense. The offense has not been great. But at this point, we're used to it. And that's what you've come to expect in the postseason. You've been able to get by because your defense has made up for it. And, you know, for most of this second half, I couldn't help but feel like, man, this must be what it was like to be on the other end last year with the Boston Celtics, where Boston, you know, looked at that series and Boston knew we are the better team. We're more talented. When Chris Middleton went out, or not when he went out in that series, but with no Chris Middleton, Celtics knew we're the better team. We should be winning this series. This should not go 7, yet it did, and they won. And when it certainly felt like the Bucks were going to win this game, all the way until that 6-minute mark in the fourth quarter, it felt a lot like that. Of this is what the other end of it felt like last year, where we were the scrappy group that we were getting it done with our defense, and we were turned into a rock fight. And it was, man, I can't believe what the Bucks are doing and what Giannis did to single-handedly keep the Bucks in this series. We're going to end up saying the same thing about Jimmy Butler after we end up winning this series, hopefully in 6 games. And then the final 6 minutes, it completely flipped and it became, holy cow, they're 48 minutes away from losing in the first round of the playoffs as a 1 seed. 855-616-1620. The old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's squeeze in one more call here before another break. Bob in Appleton, you're up next.
Yeah, I can't duplicate much more when you said a lot of good things. But, you know, it's a simple game. You got to make the three-pointers, and you have to play defense. You know, what I kept waiting for, you knew they couldn't handle Butler one-on-one, and I kept waiting for after that first quarter. Of course, the second and third quarter, he didn't do much, but I thought maybe then the fourth quarter, they try to get some weak side help and get double-team a little bit, because the other guys on the bench weren't going to probably kill you from Miami. Did you agree with me? You know, yeah. They weren't going to probably kill you.
No.
The coaching staff did a nice job with Miami starting, you know, when they saw at game one that no one could really probably handle you know, handle Butler. Of course, then Giannis was out for a long time. But you got to give them credit. They did a nice job playing the cards that they had, and the cards that we had didn't turn out the way we wanted to. But you're right, it's sort of looks a little bit like it did last year against, only in reverse order, against the Celtics, doesn't it? Looks a, like you just commented, you know.
It did thanks for the call, yeah. Bob. It did up until the final 6 minutes, and that's when the worm turned. And now, look, it's one game at a time, the old cliche, and we heard Bud say, well, we got to win one game in Milwaukee, and we'll take it from there. This does not inspire a lot of confidence in a deep postseason run. And even if you are the most optimistic of Bucks fans, if you can win three games in a row, and based off what we've seen, I know you never count out a champion and you never underestimate the heart of a champion. We'll see what this team is made of. We said that all show long. If we are being honest with ourselves, we've seen nothing to make you believe this team can win three consecutive games in this series. That doesn't mean that can't change, but we've seen nothing from the first four games to give you that confidence. Now, if you do, I didn't expect the Miami Heat to give you as much trouble as they are, but you know what? I don't even want to look ahead to the second round because you got to get there. But if you could, you like the matchup, you would get there. But to me, the bigger thing is if you can still somehow win this series, and let's say you get to the conference finals, obviously a lot could change between now and then. This series has done nothing to make you think this group as constructed is on the same level as what we've seen from the Celtics. And here's the other sad reality. What we've seen from the 76ers. Now, maybe in the most cruel bit of irony out there, in a year where the Bucks are staring down the barrel of elimination in the first round as a one seed, I got to tell you, it feels like the 76ers have that vibe that the Bucks did 2 years ago, where you got a guy that can take over in Joel Embiid. You got the guy in P.J. Tucker that just brings out the best in his teammates. And I talked about this on the playoff preview edition of Bucks Weekly that we did. Feels like a lifetime ago, but what, a week ago? All the questions that we have about Philly and all the criticisms of, yeah, but, we said those same things about the Bucks 2 years ago, before the Bucks ultimately won the title. It just shows you how quickly things can change in this league. What the Warriors have done is the anomaly. That is not common. We told you at the time, don't take any of this for granted. I think we're 48 minutes away from realizing why you don't take this stuff for granted. Now, I mentioned if you want to be an optimist, if you are an optimist, there is one thing to point to, and it's a case of, do they know something we don't know, or are you just looking at the numbers on the seeding line here? But I'll tell you what I mean, and we'll wrap up the show, preview a must-win. The first of hopefully three consecutive must-win games for the Bucks Wednesday night. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk. The Jimmy Butler game, it's been the Jimmy Butler series. 146 points scored through four games. And that has been the difference here, as the Miami Heat have won three of the first four games against the Bucks, and now the Bucks looking to avoid doing something I believe has only happened three times in NBA history, and that is a one seed losing to an eight seed. One of those was a best of five between the Denver Nuggets and the Seattle Supersonics. One was the strike-shortened season in 1999 when they played 50 games and the New York Knicks were an 8 seed that reached the NBA Finals. They weren't an 8 seed. And the most recent, we believe, Warriors beating Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas Mavericks the year Dirk Nowitzki won the MVP.
2003 the only one seed to be down 3-1, the Detroit Pistons, and come back and win the series.
Wow. Crack research there from Tommy. The Detroit Pistons in 2003, you said?
2003. So is that the year before they went to the finals?
Who was that again? Was that?
To verify who it was against.
Long story short, you're not where you hope to be. You're not where you expected to be. Now, I mentioned reasons for optimism here. I think at this point there's one. Well, two. Giannis is back, and Giannis was terrific tonight. Third time in his career, he has recorded a triple-double in the playoffs. And this is unfortunately the first time he did so in a loss. I believe that was against the Orlando Magic in the first round. At the Pistons fell behind 3-1. And boy, in the ultimate irony here, the Magic won game one on the road. The Pistons won game two. The Magic won the next two games at home. Pistons blew them out in game five at home. Had a 15-point win in game six on the road. And then a 15-point win in game seven at home. Chauncey Billups was huge that series. Tracy McGrady was big in that series as well. So to Tommy's point, it has happened before. You fall down 3-1 and win the series. And that's what the Bucks are going to have to replicate, something that hasn't happened in 20 years, 2003, in the first round of the playoffs with the Pistons falling behind 3-1 to the Orlando Magic. They ultimately lost in the conference finals, swept by the New Jersey Nets. And at this point, hey, you'll take that as long as you get out of the first round. That reason for optimism is this, other than Giannis looking pretty good. The last I saw... And keep in mind, the Bucks were still the betting favorites to win tonight and to win this series before tip time. The last I saw, the Heat are now the betting favorites. But it is very, very, very slight. It is almost a toss-up. I think Miami was minus 125. So not overwhelming confidence, but they just need to win one game. Two of those three are at home. That's the good news for the Bucks. But you got to win in Miami to get to a game seven. Before that, you got to win Wednesday night. We'll wrap up the show and preview Wednesday night after this on Bucks Talk. This was the first concert I ever went to.
Oh, okay.
I was a big Bon Jovi head as a youngster. I'd rather talk about Bon Jovi music right now than what we saw in the final 6 minutes.
This is one of the first songs I can remember on Rock Band. That's our...
Well, it's one of the first songs I remember witnessing live at Summerfest. I remember I begged my parents to take me to see Bon Jovi, and they were like... Okay, I guess. So we went to the concert, and I remember I was probably like 9 or 10 years old, looking around, because this wasn't even peak Bon Jovi, like in the 80s. This was like 92. And I remember getting to the concert and looking around and seeing a bunch of older females and teenage girls. And at that moment, I have to assume my parents wondered about me, but... Nonetheless, the Bucks will be living on a prayer Wednesday night, game number five, hopefully not the final game of the season. The Bucks and the Heat, 8:30 tip time, 8 o'clock pregame coverage begins. And as always, join us afterwards for more coverage with Bucks Talk. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz for producing the show, Jesse Nelson in Madison as well. We will talk to you Wednesday night on these airwaves with more Bucks Talk.